DiscerningHearts.com presents Listening for Truth with Deacon James Keating. Deacon Keating is a professor of spiritual theology at Kenrick Lennon Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. He formerly served as the director of theological formation at the Institute for Priestly Formation, located at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. He is the author of numerous books, including The Heart of the Diaconate, Remain in Me, Holy Orders, Prayer, and Ministry, Spousal Prayer, A Way to Marital Happiness, and Listening for Truth, Praying Our Way to Virtue, on which this series is based. He has done more than 400 workshops on moral theology and spirituality nationally, and regularly conducts retreats. Listening for Truth with Deacon James Keating. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. One of the most compelling sections in the book that I found was how you used the stations of the cross as essentially a roadmap for the moral life. And for us, that whole moment when Jesus meets his mother, for so many of us, I mean, in my particular life, it really is a counsel, but it also is a beacon to keep us going forward.
In the fourth station, when Jesus meets his mother, we see her grief at such a deep state. And of course, we can never even imagine what she was thinking. All that she knew about the conception of her own child and the origins of this child is divine. Truly, she was keeping these things in her heart, but her grief was visible. Paradoxically, the fourth station for us, I believe, when we're meditating on our own moral conversion, is that people are grieving for us, but they are not grieving for us in terms of our dying, physical dying. In a strange way, many people will grieve for us in terms of the fact that we left them behind. When we are motivated to leave our sins behind, we don't just leave our sins. We leave the community of people that we sinned with. We leave them behind as well. And so this is why it's such a difficult stage in our moral conversion, because when we come to a point where we say to our friends, well, I'm no longer going to gossip, just to take a rather common understanding, a common experience of sin. These people will then ask us, are you a religious fanatic? You're not fun to be with anymore. Why have you changed? Just fill in any sin that you want. And these questions from our friends are questions of mourning, of grieving. Where are you going? Why are you leaving us? Why can't you play anymore? Why can't you be the person that we used to have fun with? And when they define fun, they're basically saying, why can't we sin with you anymore? And so they are grieving our death, yes. They're grieving the death of our love of vice while they are still loving the vice. And this is a very difficult transition for us, because we think, well, who will be my friends down the road? What community will I have after I leave this community of vice?
Is this even to that extent in the gospel where Jesus says, I have come here to set father against son, mother against daughter, that whole idea that you may even have to lose your family? Because even now, so many of us have the vices, whether it be a gossip or gluttony or just painful inflictions that we do upon ourselves, it can even go back to our family, to turn away from that behavior and to turn towards the moral life that Christ is calling us to.
We do have to make the stand for truth. And yes, it may mean that we leave some people behind. The marvelous activity of grace, though, is this, that in our witness of leaving vice behind, it actually might be the catalyst for our friends or our family to follow us along in this conversion. In other words, they might be thinking, well, if the one we used to enter vice with has changed, why is it that I do not change too? It might be the occasion of hope. So in fact, if we hang in there and continue on our moral conversions toward truth, we may find that the very people we thought we were losing will join us in fellowship and communion later on down the road, which of course will be part of the great joy of entering the moral life, that we in fact have not lost our family, our friends, but our very witness to truth drew them along after us, and we all had communion again in the end. But in this communion, it was going to last, because it wasn't a communion based on our love of vice. It was a communion based on our love of truth.
As we grow in the spiritual life, or in the moral life, maybe it's because we're Americans, as you spoke of earlier, that we privatize our religion or our faith life, so that allowing others to help guide us, or allowing us to help as though in the help of Simon of Cyrene, that we turn away from that because somehow we have to do this on our own.
Exactly. This whole absence of the Christian community in our moral life is a great scandal and a shame. Even as we are leaving people behind, perhaps who are not yet ready to join the journey toward truth and virtue, there are many, many already on the journey. Those at your local parish, those who want to assist you like Simon did assist Christ with his cross. And with this type of assistance, when we're vulnerable to it, we begin to think, well, maybe with this kind of help, I can make it out of vice. And maybe its memories will not be as compelling as I move into a life of virtue. But we need to cling to our friends in Christ during this dangerous journey, because so much is at stake, because we know it's very easy to go back to a life of vice where we found initial comfort.
How can that next station of the wiping of Christ's face, how can that help us?
Well, here we have the great empathy of the Christian community, where we actually meet people who are so present to us that they actually minister to us, as symbolized by the wiping of the face, that they care enough for us to lessen our suffering. When we experience this, we are experiencing the hope of what a life in Christ can be like. A life in Christ can be filled with people who are called to lessen our suffering, to have empathy with us. And our response is, thank you. Thank you for loving me enough to not take the cross from me, but to assist me in carrying this cross, whether it's to Simon or it's to the woman who wiped Christ's face. Christ and ourselves are saying, thank you for loving me enough not to take the cross from me. In other words, we understand that we must walk this way, away from the painful allegiance we had to vice, so that the new life can open up. And we are so grateful for Christian companions who allow us to enter this suffering, because they love us enough to see us through the suffering, because they know the suffering is aimed toward this new life of moral living.
On the eighth station, Jesus is confronted by the women who weep for him. How does that affect us?
Well, in this station, with Jesus reaching out to the women of Jerusalem, even as he's on his road to death, this will occur to us in our moral conversion path as well, for life doesn't stop during our time of suffering and difficulty. We may, in fact, find that as we are moving from vice toward virtue and the life of holiness, that many people will begin to intuit our change, and they will begin to come to us with their needs. And our temptation might be, wait, I got enough on my plate as it is. I'm going through this very difficult time in my life. All of you people just leave me for a while until I get my act together.
Right.
And of course, this is not the way of the Christian walk. There's an old tradition in the monastic life that if you're praying and someone comes to the door with a need, you leave prayer behind. You leave your route or your way to God behind to go and open the door. Because in fact, in opening the door, you're not leaving the route or the way to God behind at all. You're actually just taking another route to the same end, service to those who are in need. So as we are on our route to holiness, there will be many who come because they are attracted by our change, and they will want to be ministered to. Welcome them with joy, because that is a further manifestation of your crucifixion of the selfish self. It's not just peeling our lives away from what we love in vice. The crucifixion is also happening in a positive way, in terms of the needs of the poor that we are meeting, how we love others in need. This is also the route to crucifixion. So it is a negative, I reject something, but it is also a positive, I embrace something. And what I'm embracing is the service of those in need.
We'll return in just a moment to Listening for Truth with Deacon James Keating. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I,
that others may be esteemed more than I,
that in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
that others may be chosen and I set aside,
that others may be praised and I unnoticed,
that others may be preferred to me in everything,
that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to Listening for Truth with Deacon James Keating. In the 10th station, Jesus is stripped of his clothing, and I always go back and reflect on, in the Garden of Eden, we were given clothes to cover our shame. And here Christ, his clothing is being stripped from him. And that's a hard one for us, because we would love to be able just to cover ourselves and to either blend in or to even hide.
And we want to avoid the 10th station at all costs. And this is where the whole role of rationalization comes in. We rationalize our sins. This is what covers our sins. We are afraid to actually stand naked before God and say in the confessional, "Bless me, Father, for I am a thief. Bless me, Father, for I am a liar." We do not want to be that naked. It's humiliating. And here Jesus is stripped, totally humiliated, totally vulnerable. In order to surrender fully to love in the face of evil, we need to give all. This surrender is humiliating, as it was for Jesus. We want to defend ourselves. We want to protect our reputation, our public face. We want to protect our dignity, so we rationalize. But to lash out against evil plays into Satan's hands. So what we need to do during this time where we are exposed as sinners is to say, stay centered on the truth. Witness to goodness by fidelity to its ways of self-surrender. Witness to goodness by fidelity to its ways of self-surrender. Don't rationalize. Don't try and cover up. Become very open and transparent before God. Now, as we stand naked before God, the price of our conversion is coming clear. It's costing a lot. We are crying out, is there no one who will cover us? Is there nowhere to hide? Is there no one who will tell us or tell evil to stop its relentless efforts to take everything from us? We are so confused at this point that we don't know whether we are naked because evil took everything from us or following truth has taken everything from us. At this point in our moral journey, we cannot really tell from this perspective. As we lose all that we thought we possessed, all that we loved, all those sins that we loved, as we lose all that we thought defined us, what do we have? Is this stripping at the 10th station, is this a stripping for death and burial? Or is this the nakedness of new birth? Again, we cannot tell right now. We are afraid. And so I think Psalm 119 is very appropriate to pray. I cling to your decrees, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. In this moment of our moral conversion, when we don't know whether we are being stripped to be killed or stripped to be born, I cling to your decrees, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame.
Then after the stripping, of course, it leads to the scenes that's always the hardest for me to watch. It's the 11th and 12th, where Jesus is nailed to the wood of the cross. This is, I don't know a Catholic, I don't know anybody who can just, they want to close their eyes and just turn away from that.
Yeah, and this is the pinnacle of the moral conversion for us as well too, right? The pain is beyond belief now. There's nothing left. I have nothing left to rationalize. I have nothing left to bargain over. I'm spent. And the only thing that we have left to do now at this point in our moral conversion is to ask God to take us. Because the struggle with evil has cost us a lot of energy. It has cost us also a lot in terms of the consequence of sin to my character. I'm exhausted. I'm coming to see that I need to abandon myself totally to God, and I want the purification of his grace to be complete now. And so as Jesus dies on the cross, we also abandon ourselves totally to him and entrust our lives to him. Even though we see nothing ahead of us. We have memories of what we used to be in our sinful life, but we live now only in hope, because the promise has not yet been fulfilled. The promise is going to be a life lived in virtue, which is going to be a happy life, but we don't yet see it. And so we are still at the stage of abandonment and surrender. And in this foretaste gives us the foretaste of the 13th and the 14th stations of peace. The struggle and the pain are gone. We yield to the peace. Christ, you take it. Christ, I can't carry this anymore. And of course, this opens up to the beautiful completion of the stations, which is that this whole moral conversion of ours was not an ending, of ourselves, but the beginning of the new creation, the beginning of our new life, wherein I live no longer by the power of temptation to sin, but I live by the power of the resurrection, which now indwells me.
It's very powerful. I don't know if I'll be able to look at the way of the cross again in the same light. From what you've taught us, it's not just the way that Christ walked, it's the way we're called to walk.
And of course, we're always living the mysteries of Christ over again in us. That is the great gift of baptism. He wants to, remember before we were talking about the difference between the human and the divine, he wants to be so close to us, to live his life over again in us. The beauty of the Stations of the Cross is that it concretizes how much he wants to live his life over again in us. The question is, do we want to yield to him doing so?
You've talked in the chapter following that about hope, and that it's the essence of resurrection ethics. What does that mean exactly?
Well, previous to our consciousness and the raising of our consciousness to our Catholic dignity, we might have been living a life which would be, again, consumeristic, materialistic. Perhaps it was a life that was defined by yielding to temptation. Now, as we pass from vice to virtue and hopefully open to communion with God, all of that transition is depending upon the power that is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that we have access to move us away from sin and establish us as those who are friends of Christ, as he promised. So it's not just a power for Christ. Since his resurrection, since the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, since his ascension, resurrection power now lives in us. We need to access it. We need to beg for it to be released in us. We need to allow it to overcome us. But we are never doing this on our own puny human power. We must yield to the power that raised Christ from the dead. Then we will be able to overcome our favorite sins and begin to live a life of virtue.
It won't happen instantly, will it?
It's all a process. It's the same process that we use on a natural plane of falling in love. The process of falling in love and then the choice to love whom has captivated us, that is a developmental process. And the same is true with our love for God and God's ways. He may beguile us with an instantaneous experience, a mystic experience, but we then must unpack that and choose to enter it again and again. Just like a man and a wife who fall in love, perhaps love at first sight, but then they must enter the choice to will the good toward their beloved over and over again. It's the same type of experience in the spiritual life. So it's not instantaneous. This is why the Stations of the Cross helps us so much. It's a journey, it's a process, it's developmental.
You use the term as in a married life, to give of each other, it's an act of the will. And living a morally good life is that same thing. It takes a lot of courage. It's a courageous thing to do because you have to will it. It's not something you wait to get the warm fuzzies about.
Yeah, especially in the times of the memory of sin. When the memory of sin comes back in a captivating way, we really do have to tough it out. We literally have to will, with grace again, never separate it, but we have to will to go forward in virtue. Because in the early stages of our conversion, the strongest memory we have is the memory of sin. We don't yet have a memory of communion in Christian discipleship. We don't yet have a memory of what life is like in virtue, because we are still moving out of our life of sin. So the strongest memory we have is our temptation to go back. That's where a lot of this suffering and turmoil will come, in the willing to, even though I don't yet feel it, will to be faithful and then the feelings, the affection for the way of virtue will follow. Will to be faithful in these difficult times, and the affection for being good will follow.
Well, as you pointed out so clearly, it's in this process we have so many things that we can access, as well as the sacraments and scripture and the teachings of the church, even found in the catechism and the lives of the saints. There's so much there to assist us. But as always, it's so important to begin with prayer and in that deep yearning to be able to connect with the indwelling Christ.
The crying out at these points of difficulty in our moral conversion is the very definition of prayer at this stage in our life. The Lord, I cannot do this without you. The Lord, I'm not even sure what I'm doing. It very much mirrors the Psalms and all the Psalms as the people cried out for help. Do not be shy about crying out for help in the process of leaving vice behind. He will help us.
A great tool among others would be to be able to pick up a copy of Listening for Truth, Praying Our Way to Virtue by Deacon James Keating, because everything that you have given us in the following of the book so far, the book actually has meditations that you can enter into and to help guide you in this walk. I think that is an incredibly important tool.
The way I constructed the book was a series of writings or a narrative, and then hopefully a time to pause. Our faith is so rich, so deep, so real, so transformative that we need times of silence so that the truths of our faith can enter us. And so you can do that perhaps in a classroom where you will teach more contemplatively and allow silence to fill the hearts of students and teacher. In a book, I tried to give that same space to the readers in the form of these separate meditations, where they can enter into silence and to personalize what the book is saying in a general way.
Well, Deacon Keating, this has been, dare I say, a grace-filled opportunity for all of us, and I look forward to the next time when we can discuss Listening for Truth. You've been listening to Listening for Truth with Deacon James Keating. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Listening for Truth with Deacon James Keating.